You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Okay, we'll make this quick because she's feeling a little shaky up there. When we all, as a family, were a bit younger than we are now, when I had little kids, not adults, one of our favorite pastimes, and I guess we still try to do it. I don't know if I can do it anymore. These guys are getting so big. But is chicken fighting in the pool? Have you guys ever chicken fought? Is that a word, past tense? Chicken fought. In a pool. And one of the things that we would love to do it, everybody would be like, come on, Dad, let's chicken fight. And so they would get on my shoulders and, you know, I'm a rock and the size of me is really good. I'm losing circulation here. It's different when you're not floating, by the way. And it's different when there's, say, 8 rather than 18. But we would love to do it. It's just so much fun. Like anytime we would go anywhere in our pool, we would go to like a hotel somewhere, and we would chicken fight in the pool. And one of the things that you do with chicken fighting, if you're not familiar with how it works, you get on someone's shoulders and someone else gets on the other person's shoulders, and you kind of go at each other. And the bottom person just basically holds, and the top person tries to push the other person down on the other team, whatever you want to call it. And so whoever goes down first loses, and so the winner stays, and of course you keep doing that as long as you can, as long as you can handle it. But one of the things about chicken fighting that I've discovered as the guy that's always on the bottom, because I didn't stand on my kids' shoulders, although frankly we probably could do that this way this summer. But one of the things about being the bottom guy is that when you would get knocked over, one of the things that would happen is as you start to fall back, I'm not going to drop you, as you start to fall back, the person on the top will let go, and it makes sense because then they kind of fall back into the water and you both fall back. But one of the things that I noticed that I have an issue with, and it's almost like, and I think probably everybody would, it's like this natural reaction that as soon as they start to fall, and especially as a dad, my immediate reaction is to grab on and hold them because I don't want them to fall. And one of the things that I've noticed in that process is that as we're falling back, they let go, but I'm still holding on. And despite the weight difference that may be there, even as a light little 8-year-old, they still will pull me under. And so the issue is that as long as I'm holding on to them and holding on to them, even though they've let go, they pull me under, and of course, if I don't let go, then I will eventually drown because, you can't breathe underwater. Although you will get to discuss that in your prime group this week. But that's the whole thing, is that sometimes if you're on the bottom and the person's falling back, they let go. But if you don't let go, they will bring you down. And this is what we're going to be talking about this morning, the issue of forgiveness. So I'm going to get her off of my shoulders so that she doesn't die and I don't die in front of everybody. Whew. Ready? Here we go. All right. Thank you, Cara. So I want to talk this morning as we continue this series called Sorry, Not Sorry about forgiveness. And I just got to be honest. Like, this series is not fun. It's not like, yay, I can't wait to talk about how I'm such not doing a good job. But last week we talked about how, we need to recognize and realize that we are going to let people down, that we are human, and we are always going to let other people down. And so how dare we look at someone else and say, well, you shouldn't be human, you shouldn't let me down. And just this idea of having a good, as I talked about with the toga. So let me just time out here. I actually have nightmares about things like that. Like, you have nightmares about boogeymen and scary monsters and people following you at night. I have nightmares that it is time to teach and I'm not ready. And I am not kidding you. Last week, when that intro video ended, I'm still upstairs. And I had practiced the toga thing multiple times, and I had it on, and I went to clip my mic on, and the whole thing came off just as the song ended. And that night I didn't sleep thinking about that nightmare. So I know those are what your nightmares are like. But that's where they are for me. where it's like, hey, and here's Sean who's coming to share the word with you. And I didn't even know. And I wasn't prepared. But anyway, time in. So we talked about that last week. And this week, I want to look at this idea of letting go. Because we hold on to things. We hold on to bitterness. We hold on to unforgiveness. And we think that it's their job to let go. And yet, we don't. Maybe they've already let go, maybe not. But either way, we hold on to it. And because we're holding on, it's bringing us down. And so we're going to talk about this morning just this idea of completely opposite of what is conventional wisdom, what is modern understanding of forgiveness, and that is, that's your job to worry about. When you come and apologize, then I will forgive. And usually there's like one of those in there. But really, and then again, that is normal. That is how we think. Oh, I'll forgive them when they apologize. And I just want to tell you that forgiveness has nothing to do with them. It has nothing to do with them. I mean, Kyle already referenced, a little spoiler alert for the last week of the series, Jesus is on the cross forgiving. And so this idea of forgiveness is not about them. It's about us. And releasing and letting go and forgiving isn't just something we should do because it's a nice thing to do and Jesus wants you to. Rhymed. But because it's good for us. And so the point this week is this. We forgive personally by releasing our bitterness. This morning, we're going to say some things that probably, again, this is not a fun series. Next week, I'm going to be on vacation. You're going to watch a video by Craig Rochelle. And he's going to get into some of the layers of hurt, sharing even some of his own story about his sister and some abuse and some things like that. So it's not going to get lighter. But just this idea of often we look and say, well, that's their job. Once they apologize, then I will forgive. And we need to understand, you need to understand, I need to understand that forgiveness is about releasing our bitterness. It's releasing our issues rather than holding on to them. So why don't we hit the house lights there if you could. And we're going to look at this, just one verse in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. So Mark chapter 11, 25. And just a little bit of context. Jesus actually just did another miracle. And it had to do with a fig tree. And one of the disciples was like, Jesus, that was amazing. You did another miracle. And Jesus says, look, prayer is amazing. God can do anything through you. If you have total faith, God has the power to do anything. And so that's what he says. And then the very next verse, the very next statement he says is this. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone that you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. And I said last week with this series, sorry, not sorry, as we're going into this idea of forgiveness. Like, if you don't want to hear about Jesus forgiving you, stop reading the Bible. Because every time the Bible talks about what we are supposed to do with forgiveness, almost every time it references what Jesus did for us. So here's what Jesus says in Mark 11, 25. So he talks about three things I just want to draw our attention to. He says, when you're praying, and the idea here when he says when praying isn't necessarily a only do this when you're praying. The assumed thing is that we are praying regularly. We talked about that in our last series, Building Blocks, about the importance of connecting, communicating with God. And so when we're praying, we are praying regularly. We should be doing it in a constant way. And so when Jesus says when praying, he's talking about something that we're doing regularly. So when praying, the first thing we need to do, is that on there? When praying, the first thing you need to do is reflect. Now, you need to look in you. Look in you. And just to understand something here, the way the Greek language, which was the way this was written, it actually was a little bit reversed. So I'm going to do the middle of verse 25 and then come back to the beginning of verse 25. Because the middle of verse 25 is basically the if. And then the beginning of verse 25 is then. So for English, we kind of flip it around. But what Jesus says is to reflect. Before you go, before you pray, or at any time, in a regular, consistent way, when you're praying, you need to look inside of you. And so what are you supposed to look for? Well, in verse 11, 25, the middle part, he says, anyone you are holding a grudge against. So look in, Jesus says, look inside, reflect in. And says, when you're praying, if there's anyone that you're holding a grudge against, anyone that you hold a grudge against. And let me just throw you out some interesting little things. I said this was written in Greek. The word anyone means, it actually is a word that means anyone. It's just a very general word. It's not like anyone, there's no anyone who, dot, 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 or only in this situation, dot, dot, dot. It is a completely general, total blanket statement. There is no, you know, asterisk. There is no fine print. The word means anyone. And the NLT that we're using here says anyone you were holding a grudge against. But the Greek word for grudge is actually a very similar word to the anyone. It means anything. Anything. And it's a very general word that means anything. So the Greek, the way Jesus was saying this to his disciples was, if any of you are have anything against anyone. So there is no if. There is no except. There is no but. There is no dot, dot, dot. There is no asterisk. There is no fine print. That if you are holding a grudge against anyone, and then we'll talk about what he says we're supposed to do with that. But this idea of looking inward and saying, okay, what about you? Regularly, when you're praying, God's prayer has the power to do anything. But he says, before you do that, reflect. Do you have a grudge against anyone? Do you have an issue, any issue of any kind against any person? Because we're supposed to look in at ourselves. And it's interesting, this is a biblical concept, forgiveness. Obviously, that's what Jesus did on the cross for us. That's what next month, Easter, we celebrate that he died on the cross and rose again. But what's interesting is that there are a lot of medical studies that are out there that talk about the problems and the dangers of bitterness and unforgiveness. And I think this is one of the things, you know, as we talk about this morning, and yeah, it's hard, but this isn't hard because it's something we're supposed to do. This is because Jesus wants us to do this because it's for our benefit. And so there was one study that I have here from the Mayo Clinic or Mayo Clinic, depending on, you know, whether it's spread on your sandwich or not. But they said that, here's some things. If you look inward, he says, if you're unforgiving, here are some habits that you might have. So again, you're like, oh, I don't have any forgiveness. Just here's some things that they have found in a massive medical study. They said, if you're unforgiving, you might bring anger and bitterness into every relationship and new experience. Do you find everywhere you go, you bring a bit of angerness and bitterness with you into that thing? That nothing is ever right. There's always something wrong. According to this study, you might be a person that is dealing with unforgiveness. Jesus says, look in. That other thing says, if you're unforgiving, you might become so wrapped up in the wrong that you can't enjoy the present. Do you have a hard time enjoying the moment because of all the stuff that's been done wrong to you? You might be dealing with unforgiveness. They also said, if you're unforgiving, you might become depressed or anxious. If you're depressed or anxious, you may be dealing with unforgiveness. Now, of course, this doesn't mean if this, then that. But these are just things that if that's the way you deal with life, you might be dealing with unforgiveness. You might feel that your life lacks meaning or purpose, or that you're at odds with your spiritual beliefs. Now, this is a secular study, but they recognize that you might struggle with, I know Jesus did this for me, but I can't do that for them. And that creates some obvious tension. And we're going to get to that in a moment. And then finally, they say, if you're unforgiving, you might lose valuable and enriching connectedness with others. And sometimes if you've been hurt, you have a relationship that you're dealing with unforgiveness, you'll find that you can't make friends. And I don't mean that in like, you need to make friends and you can swing through the meadows holding hands. But that idea of, you know, if sometimes when we're hurt, we don't forgive, we're not able to open up to anybody. And this is definitely something that, you know, when I do premarital counseling with couples, kind of working through not just where they are, but what's their family history? What's their background like? How did their parents deal with conflict? And those things kind of affect how we deal with with relationships. So Jesus says to reflect, to look in you. When praying, reflect. The second thing is, he says, is then to release. He says, if you have anything against anyone else, if there's anything against anyone, if you're holding a grudge against anybody, in the first part, and again, the Greek is backwards from English, in the first part of verse 25, he says, first, forgive. So he says, if you've got a grudge, then forgive. So look in, and then let it go. And notice what he doesn't say. Forgive them once they come back to you and say they're sorry. Forgive them once they have been punished for their hurt, or the way they hurt you. Forgive them once they've had a really bad spot in life and you're like, well, now you know how it feels, sucker. I forgive you. He says, forgive them. If you are holding a grudge, nothing to do with them, you need to let it go. And the really cool thing is that the Greek word for forgive, and again, I'm throwing a lot of the Greek here, I don't mean to, but the Greek word for forgive, it's aphemi, and the word means to release, to let go. Elsa knew what she was talking about when it came to forgiveness. Or was it the other one? Was it Elsa? Yeah, okay. See, there's two of them, right? Like one could shoot ice bolts, and the other one, like, shot love. I don't know. But to let it go, release it, and it's freedom. And the reason why we're supposed to do this is because if you're on the bottom and you're falling into the water and you're holding on, you will drown. It will bring you down. But if you release, if you aphemi, if you forgive, you can come up above water. And it is exactly the same thing, is that we hold on to these things. And again, I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm not saying it's easy to do. I'm not saying that the hurt that you endured was fake. That's all real. But what I am saying is that we need to let it go. We need to release it. And that's what Jesus says. If you've got a grudge, forgive. Let it go. Release it. Let go of the bitterness. Now, the interesting thing here is that in that same study by the Mayo Clinic, or salad dressing, I don't know what salad dressing is. And then there's Miracle Whip, which apparently is different from mayo and salad dressing. But anyway, they said that letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for improved health and peace of mind. So if we release these things, even though they didn't do anything to deserve our forgiveness, we'll get to in a moment, it'll actually benefit us. Here's some of the things that they studied. Again, a secular thing, not based on a biblical study or anything like that. They said forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression. Get this, a stronger immune system. By forgiving someone, you can have a stronger immune system, documented by a study here. You can have improved heart health and improved self-esteem. And so this wasn't like Jesus knew what he was talking about. Let it go. Release it. Not based on whether they deserve it or not, but because we are not holding on anymore, we are letting go. We are releasing. We are choosing to forgive. Because if we don't, it's bringing us down. And then, you know, I think right there we could stop and say, that is powerful. This is good information. This is meaningful. But then, you know, Jesus kind of drops the mic because he does this all the time because he's Jesus. And he says, receive. He says we are to receive. And we're going to come back to this idea that believe that God can forgive you. In Mark 11:25, the third part, Jesus then says, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. And you're like, this sounds like conditional. This sounds like love. This doesn't sound like grace. This sounds like if you do this, then God will forgive you. And I want you to know, we said this billions of times, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less. So what is Jesus saying here? That if we don't forgive, we're going to hell? And I want to say no. What he's saying is this, and there's this concept here, that if we are not, let me just say it the right way here, I don't want to mess it up. If you can't forgive someone who is undeserving, Okay? So if your mindset is, I can't forgive them because they don't deserve it. Now, that same mindset, get this, would affect you. Because then if you can't do that, why would you believe that God can forgive you? And what Jesus is saying is that this is a theology issue. This is a, if you want a fancy church word, this is a soteriology issue. This is an issue of our salvation. Because if you think, well, there is no way that I can forgive someone that they don't deserve it, then we start looking at ourselves and going, well, then there's no way that Jesus could forgive me either. And if you don't think that Jesus can forgive you, if you don't believe that Jesus can forgive an undeserving person like you, then you will go to hell. Because our faith in Jesus is faith. It's belief that Jesus' death on the cross took away our sins. And we don't deserve it. And so if our attitude, if we've got this mindset that says, well, they don't deserve it, I'm not going to forgive them, Jesus is saying, you need to be careful. Because if that's the way you think about undeserving and forgiveness, then you're probably not going to believe that my death on the cross mattered either. Because you don't deserve it. And so that's what he's saying here. He says, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. He's saying, so that you understand that, so you believe if you can forgive someone that's undeserving, you will then realize that Jesus can forgive you who is undeserving. You can forgive me who is undeserving. And so you need to receive. You need to believe that God can forgive you. And so that's this connection. It's not a conditional, like if you forgot someone, you're like, don't lay in bed at night panicking, like, maybe I didn't forgive someone. I hope I don't die because I'm going to go to hell. Like, no, he's saying that this idea is a mindset that says if you don't think that you can forgive someone that doesn't deserve it, you might miss the fact that Jesus can forgive you and you don't deserve it. That Jesus can forgive me and I don't deserve it. So he says, when praying, you need to reflect. Look in you. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about their issues. Don't worry about whether they deserve it or not. And again, I'm not trying to be like, oh, well, that's not a big deal. I know you were molested as a child. Just let it go. I'm not saying those things are hurtful and they're deep and they're awful. There's a lot of hurt out there. But I am saying that you need to release it. You need to release it, to let go of that bitterness and then receive and believe that God can forgive your sins. So the point is, we forgive personally by releasing our bitterness. And again, this morning, we're not talking about them. And I'm not saying it's not awful. I'm not saying that they really should forgive you. I'm not saying that they owe you something. I'm just saying we're talking about us and letting it go. And so I want to just, again, kind of knock against this concept, this world concept out there that says forgiveness is a conditional clause. It's fancy. I think that's what that means. I think it's an English term. Forgiveness is if you, then I. If you do this, then I will forgive. And that is not the way it works. And this idea that, well, that's their problem. But actually, again, going against the culture here, bitterness is not their problem. It's yours. Bitterness is not their problem, it's your problem. Bitterness is not their problem, it's my problem. This is our response. This is our responsibility. And again, like last week I said, if you're looking to walk out of here with great self-esteem because of all the wonderful things about you, kind of roughed it up a little bit, saying that we're kind of losers and we're sinners and we're selfish, and just to be real. And this morning, I just, again, it's easy to be like, oh, that's their problem. It's easy to throw things off onto someone else's shoulders because it's easier. But I just want to just knock us back a little bit and say, look, everything that we're talking about this morning is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's not their job. And then we do it. So let's look at a few things here. First of all, we are to forgive when they offend. We are to forgive when they offend. So they have hurt you, and we are to forgive. You are to forgive them. And this is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 12, and then jumping down a few more verses to 14 to 15. This is the Lord's Prayer, as it's called. And the Lord's Prayer has some main concepts. There's probably like four big themes in there about how great God is and how God is the one that provides for everything for us. And one of these concepts Jesus includes in the Lord's Prayer is forgiveness. And what he says in verse 12 is, "And forgive us our debts." And by the way, I'm going to be underlining some words here throughout this next section to recognize that it's our responsibility. He says, "And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." And then a verse later, Jesus says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." It's what we were just talking about, this idea of belief, of whether God can forgive. But Jesus says that we are forgiving others. Are we asking, well, let me back up. We are asking God to forgive us. It's a dangerous prayer. To God, forgive us the way we forgive others. Do you want that kind of forgiveness from God? Because I know if God's forgiveness is like, "Well, Sean, I was watching how you forgave that person. That was good, but not that person or that person. So I'm not going to forgive you either." And so there's a very tied concept here of Jesus says forgiveness is huge. That when we pray, we need to forgive people. And we ask God, forgive us, because we understand that we are undeserved. And as we have forgiven our debtors, as those who have offended us, that's what the word means. So therefore, I'm going to forgive them even though they don't deserve it. We forgive even though they don't deserve it. So that's the first thing, forgive when they offend. The second thing is fix when you offend. When you hurt somebody, when you do something, when you offend somebody else, we are supposed to fix it. So, and I know you're like, "Wait, now you're saying it's our problem when it's their problem, and it's our problem when it's our problem?" Yep. It's our issue. So in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says it this way in verses 23 to 24. He says, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar," basically he's talking about worship. And he says, if you're worshiping, and that's what they were doing, there was a physical altar that they would bring a sacrifice to. He says, "If you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you," underlined, it's your job, "leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." Jesus says, if you're going to worship, if you're pulling into the parking lot on Sunday morning, like, "I'm gathering with the body here, I'm going to worship God," and then you're like, "Yeah, I remember last week I really hurt them, and I never did anything about it." Jesus says, stop the car, put it in reverse, looking behind you to make sure there's no one there, go back and work it out with them first and apologize. And make it right. Be reconciled to them. So this is, if you realize that someone has something against you, you did something that hurt someone else. He says, don't come to worship without first going and reconciling with them. Sorting out the problem. And I realize that some of this, like, and you're going to hear next week too, like, you know, if you hurt someone and then never dealt with it, and then they die, how do you do that? I get it. There's a lot of layers to this. But the point being, that if you hurt someone and you remember it, make it right. Fix it. I remember there was a show, I don't know if it's still around or if you can find it, I'm sure you can stream it somewhere, but it's called Homes on Homes. It was this guy who was a contractor, and basically you would like apply for the show to say, like, here is the house that was built and here are all the problems. And one of the things that always he would say is that we're going to make it right. We're going to make it right. It was done wrong. We're going to make it right. That was the theme of the show, is him making it right. Which, you know, if you have hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to make it right, great. But that was the whole idea of making it right. And this is what Jesus is saying, is if you have offended someone and you said something you shouldn't have said, you did something you shouldn't have done, fix it. Make it right. Reconcile with them. Because, again, it's not their problem, it's yours. The third thing is let go of your bitterness. We've kind of already talked about this, but let go of your bitterness. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is what Paul says to the church in Ephesus. And I put in brackets here just in case. I think that is, what do they call it? That is you, that is called implied in a English grammar sentence. When there's a command, the you is implied. And so Paul says, you get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Oh, here it comes again. Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And so Paul says, we need to get rid of bitterness. And look at what's grouped together with this. And it sounds a lot like the Mayo Clinic study. Get rid of bitterness, because with bitterness comes rage and anger and harsh words and slander. And Paul says, get rid of it, because you're not growing. You're not helping anyone with your bitterness. Instead, you're probably bringing others down because of your anger, your unforgiveness, and your bitterness that you're holding on to. He says, get rid of it. So we need to release it. Aphiemai, forgive, let it go, just as Christ, God has, through Christ, has forgiven you. So let go of your bitterness. And the fourth thing is, look after their bitterness. So wait. It sounds like you said, forgive when it's their fault, and then forgive, you know, fix it when it's your fault. And then you said, let go when it's your issue, and then look after it when it's their issue. Yes. This is all about us. In Hebrews chapter 12, this is what the writer of Hebrews says. It says, look after each other. Look after each other, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. And then implied there, you watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So the writer of Hebrews says, look out for each other. Look out for each other. And he says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. So he says, look out for your brothers and sisters and say, oh, you know what? I sort of feel like maybe something came up here and we need to deal with it before it grows into an issue. And one of my favorite conversations, my favorite, that's not the best way to put it. One of the best ways to handle this, I guess to say, is the conversation starter that says, are we okay? Have you ever been in one of those conversations? And they sometimes feel awkward, and it's a hard question to ask sometimes. But just to say, are we okay? Because that's this. That's watching out that there's no root of bitterness that's starting to grow. That you say, I'm going to deal with this issue. I'm going to watch out for you because it seems like you're kind of pulling away. It seems like you're upset. It seems like there's some issue that you might have that I'm not aware of. If I was aware of it, I should be fixing it. And we just say, are we okay? I'm watching for you because it looks like there might be an issue. And that's what the writer of Hebrews says. Is look out, because you don't want this thing to grow. You don't want this thing to grow into this massive bitterness, because what's it going to do? It's going to corrupt many. And I can just tell you, it is true. I mean, we shared a lot of things last week with Spring Back, and there's just a lot of ugly that sometimes happens in churches. And honestly, I love MC3, and MC3 is one of the least ugly churches I've ever been a part of. But man, church people are mean sometimes. And this idea of bitterness can grow. And we have to be careful. As the, was it Barney Fife? Because you all watched Andy Griffith. Wow, all right. Yeah, black and white. Anyway, Barney Fife said, nip it in the bud. I don't know why. Anyway, the idea of getting it before it becomes an issue. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. You need to look out for them. Look out for each other. Look after each other. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up. So, forgive when they offend. Fix when you offend. Let go of your bitterness. Look after their bitterness. And then finally, and here's where it's like, okay, I'm good so far. I'm sorry that I'm going to read this verse to you, because accountability sometimes is really annoying. The truth sometimes is just frustrating. But it's in the Bible, so I'm teaching it. Do all that you can. In Romans 12:18, this is what Paul says to the church in Rome. If it is possible. So Paul says, it means, if there's any way, at all, if it is possible at all, if it exists, if a solution is there, if there is any possible way, not if it seems like the right thing, not if it makes you feel good, not if they deserve it. He says, if it is possible, part one. Part two, as far as it depends on you, underlined you again, as far as it depends on you, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Paul says, look, if there's a way to fix it, fix it. If there's a solution to it, solve it. If there's something that you can do to help work through the thing, do it. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, the nice thing is that sometimes it's not on you. Sometimes you can forgive and you can release and you can even say that, and people will still be holding issues and bitterness towards you. And I'm not saying that that's good for them, but I will say that as far as it depends on you, you do everything you can. And not every time is that going to work out. Not everybody's going to walk away, you know, hugging and dancing together. But as far as it depends on you, if it's possible, live at peace with everyone. And again, I'm sorry, because it'd be a lot easier if we didn't have that in there. So like basically, if there wasn't anything we didn't cover already, now this covers it. This is the catch-all. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Paul says that we are to do all that we can. And again, all of this comes back to the idea of bitterness. And we think it's their problem, but it's ours. It's our thing to deal with. And the cool thing about this, and here's the cool thing. When I'm going down and I'm falling under the water and I'm struggling to breathe, I have a couple of options. Option number one is, how awful! This person is bringing me down. I hate them. I'm drowning. I hate them. I'm drowning. I hate them. Blah, 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 blah. And as much as I hate them, I'm still dead. I'm still drowning. But the cool thing is that you and I can go, I'm drowning. I'm letting go. And I'm okay. I've released it. And that's the thing. It's not not only does it not depend on them to say, I'm sorry, or them we forgive, but the cool thing is that we can handle the hard part. That the part that's bringing us down is something that we have the power to let go. That we can release that bitterness and therefore survive. And again, that's the almost the flip side. That's the easy, beautiful part of it. Is that Jesus is like, look, I get this. And if you hold on to it, it's going to bring you down. But you have the ability to let go. And that's what we are supposed to do. The point is, we forgive personally by releasing our bitterness. This is on us to release it. As we said throughout this series, we're doing a YouVersion reading plan together. YouVersion is a free Bible app available. Just search for YouVersion on any platform. But we're doing this plan together. It's a 10-day plan called Unoffendable. Just kind of a neat way to, outside of the point, to kind of look at some more ideas of forgiveness and releasing it. And what does that look like? So you can check that out. And then this week in your prime group, you're going to talk about this a little bit more. And again, this is not a fun series. And I'm not saying it's not a fun series because it's like, oh, you guys suck. Like, this is hard. This is hard for me. Like, I kind of wish some of these verses weren't in the Bible. It'd be easier. But this is something that we need to do. And I think, honestly, I mean, here we are as we spring back, as we grow and again move forward to reach our community, I think there needs to be some forgiveness. I feel like not just us, but maybe even our country, forgiveness is a big deal right now. They probably don't realize it, but I think we should. You talk about politics, you talk about all the other stuff, like we're at a spot where forgiveness matters. And so we need to be forgiving each other. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your example, as my brother Kyle prayed earlier. God, you forgave us, and I pray that you would help us to forgive others. And God, just in our own lives, we did not deserve your forgiveness, and you offered it freely. And I pray that you would allow us to release the bitterness and to forgive other people, that we would let go of the thing that is bringing us down and give it to you. And I pray in that, God, that we would experience that freedom, that would pull us above the water, and we would be able to breathe again. And I pray, just as Jesus said, that God, that we would reflect, that we would look deep, look at where we are. And if we have an issue, help us to deal with it and not count on whether they feel like they deserve it or whatever, but let us release as far as it depends on us. If it's possible, God, help us to forgive and to live at peace. Thank you so much that this is not just something that certainly is something that you demonstrated for us, that we need to grasp completely because we don't deserve what Jesus did on the cross for us. But I thank you also, God, that beyond just that, it's also something that's good for us, that there are benefits to releasing our bitterness, to forgiving others. And I pray that you would help us to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.